back of the lunch. We're going to continue with our program for the afternoon. Welcome to the Chief Executive of the DNA Board, and also to the CFO and the Chief Director Legal Services from the CSPS. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Colleagues, maybe just to indicate that we're supposed to get now the briefing on the annual report of the DNA Board that's still outstanding, but also other issues that we want to deal with. The dilemma is I just got a message from with regard to the availability of the judge, and maybe we'll just ask the delegation to introduce themselves and just brief us on that issue, and then we'll take it from there.
Good afternoon, Honourable Members, Chairperson. I'm Dawn Bell. I'm the Chairperson. Not quite. I'm the Chief Director for Legislation, CSPS.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Members and all protocol observed, my name is Tumelo Ngojwana. I'm the CFO at Civilian Secretariat. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the Director for the DNA Board Secretariat. Perhaps I just need to, before we continue, just apologise for the Chairperson, Judge Mukhoro. She experienced some challenges earlier today with her flight, so she's on a flight at the moment, but she's going to be late. We anticipate that she should be here at 3:30, 3:45 at the latest. The flight that she was scheduled to take, they were disembarked because there were some technical issues with the plane, and now they've had to try and, you know, make alternate arrangements. So that has delayed her quite significantly. So I just wanted to put that on record.
Thank you for that. Yes, Alderman Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am going to speak about the delay of the judge. I don't know, is she or he? Is she? Yeah, she doesn't take us serious, Chairperson, because she was supposed to be here yesterday. We were here at Parliament from 7 o'clock until now, and we are not going to wait for her. She was supposed to take a plane, to board a plane yesterday, not today, because they know that they've got all these things of SAA flights, but she said she'll take it today. That one, I'm not allowing it, Chairperson. We are not going to wait for her.
Thank you. Any other members? Honourable Mbele?
Thanks, Chair. I think I'll be a bit more sympathetic to Judge Mukhoro, because I would assume, especially given what we've previously heard about the financial constraints the DNA Board faces, they would have wanted to avoid spending money on overnight accommodation and take a same-day flight. I'm assuming, I could be wrong, but I suspect, given what we know about the environment they operate within and the need for cost-cutting, it would have made perfect sense to catch a late-morning flight, get here in time for lunchtime, and it's just unforeseen circumstances. Yeah.
Right. Any other members on the same topic? Yeah, members, I think the dilemma we're sitting with, even if the official from DNA Board presents, the questions will be to the executive authority. That is our dilemma we're sitting with. So what we maybe can do in the meantime is let that item stand down at this stage. We continue with the minutes that we still need to adopt. And at 3 o'clock, if it's quite clear the judge will not be coming this way, of course, we will have to postpone that item to a later date. I think that, I don't know what is the feeling of the House, but that we, meantime, utilize the time, because many of the questions that will come from the presentation, the official can't deal with that. That's for the executive authority, the board. The board must respond. So that is our practical dilemma. But let's hear the members. Honourable Bijou.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to indicate that even if we postpone that due to delay, we mustn't be called to come to a special meeting for that just because of one person. That won't augur well with us, and we won't do it. We won't allow it.
How many members are there of the board? I know that Vanessa, I've forgot her surname, is in hospital. Now we're missing the judge. So where are the other eight members?
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Honourable Member. All of the other board members had apologised, said that they could not be here today due to other commitments. So, yeah. Well, Advocate Val is here representing Mr. Rapia because he is also one of the members of the board. So effectively, you've got one person from the board here at the moment.
Thank you, Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to ask Honourable Kalabanat, how did you know that? How did she know that Vanessa is at hospital? Because now they didn't tell us where other members are, because we don't know. And she tells us that Vanessa is in hospital. How did she know? Because they didn't give us all the apologies of the board members. Thank you.
Honourable Markey, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. See, the reason why we called the DNA board is because there seems to be problems in there. And if the whole lot of those members give apologies, that shows that there's really a problem in there. And we need to sort out, this is one sector that needs to be corrected. It's a very important one. So we need some answers, we need to know what's happening so that we can help. Otherwise it's dysfunctional, it's not working. I'm not sure by saying that it means I'm sympathetic or what, but the problem will remain, and it's still up to us to sort out this problem. I don't know what the way forward from here. Well, according to me, I would say if she's coming, let her come and answer and tell us what's happening. I mean, if we don't have DNA, it means we are going backwards. But surely it's unacceptable to have a situation like this, where members can simply give an apology on a serious matter like this one. I think it's definitely unacceptable.
Yes, I see a lot of hands, but I think Honourable Markey made a suggestion that let us continue with the minutes. We still need to work through a number of them, and then just after three, let's then see what is the progress with regard to the judge. If it's an indication that it's impossible for her to make the meeting, but I mean, if she's still within, then we can continue as the WIP have indicated. Thank you very much. Right, members, we will go to the minutes of the 14th of February 2018 that was held in the old assembly building in V227. It's a four-page document.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's... Baba, will you just assist the members with those that need assistance? Right, members, let's go to page one. I think in page one there's apologies, so that's been included. You will see on page one. Can we go to page 2? I think there's again the issue of the brigadiers and the colonel on page 2. Maybe the second sentence on page 2. He reported to the members that the committee's program activates are revised. That activities. So if we can just change that, colleagues. Maybe the second last sentence, the committee will be receiving a briefing from the South African Police Service on the following items. Shouldn't there be a colon, a comma, or semicolon? Senior appointments. On page 2. So what should there be?
SJ senior appointments and then a semicolon.
Okay, great.
Chair, on the same paragraph, fourth line, there just needs to be a the before parliamentary program. A possibility that the parliamentary program might change.
Yeah, thank you very much. The colleagues, on the fourth sentence of the first paragraph. Thank you. Anything else on page 2, colleagues? Can we move to page 3? Maybe on the 2018 firearms amnesty on page 3, the second last bullet, and shouldn't that be next to phase, and then that bullet should fall away. Paragraph 1 under 2, the killing of a police officer. Killing should be a small k, ne? Of A, yeah. Thank you, Honorable Mbele. And then the second sentence, it doesn't make sense. It also extremely condemned, it also, or the committee. Is it the committee also extremely condemned?
Yeah, the committee.
And maybe the committee sent its condolences to the affected family.
Chairperson, the last sentence,
yes.
On number 1, it doesn't just make sense if it's not qualified. It was mentioned that the committee should also remember that Metro Police officers' lives are also in danger. If you don't have a background of what is happening, it just...
Yeah, thank you for that, Omar Maki. We will have to qualify that in the context of the first sentence regarding the police members.
Yeah, somebody did raise this, that police officers' lives are also in danger, and we should also include them in any measures that's taken to protect the lives of police officers. So, if I could recommend you, it was noted that the committee should also extend measures that it takes to ensure police safety, to extend those measures to Metro Police officers. Although I don't know if we can actually. Sorry, Chief, we must just rephrase that because the Metro Police officers reported the municipality, so. I don't know, we didn't deliberate on it, but if I remember in the committee, it was raised. I think it was called. Yeah.
we just have to find another way of putting it. It was a thought.
Or maybe just to say it was mentioned that the committee should also remember that Metro Police officers' lives are also put in danger by criminals or something like that. Would that work?
That would work, Chief.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just for noting.
Yeah, we tend never to consider that, but we actually have oversight over them too, so we need to.
Colleagues, anything else on page 3? Development, your arrest. Thank you for that, Honourable Colour Barnard. Anything else on page 3? Yes.
Point number 5. The committee requested an updated on the investigation.
Yeah, an update, yeah. Thank you.
Of cases, Jim. An update on the investigation of cases that involves, not is involving, that involves...
On page 3.5, under 2.5. Anything else on page 3?
Seven, who was responsible? Who is responsible? The members wanted to know who was responsible for conducting lifestyle audits.
Thank you, Irvin. Can we move to 4?
Sentence, it felt there was an exclusion of some stations that needed to be included in the notice.
Then 13, the chairperson reminded the members that the Minister of Police would have to draft. To include that, yeah.
Okay, maybe can I just add something? I propose that the chairperson reminded members that the Minister of Police would have drafted the third letter to the Speaker of the National Assembly informing of the new dates for the firearms amnesty, because he's supposed to have written indicating what the new dates were.
Remember there was two, they didn't come back, but they didn't come back in the second round, you know, with regard to the new date, yeah. So that's how I stand. Yeah, it's still on hold, yeah. Right, colleagues, anything else on page 4? On Thursday morning. Maybe the second sentence under 3, He said the committee took note of the progress, maybe the progress of implementation made by SAPS in various programs, not just the implementation. Colleagues, anything else on four? Right.
I'm not even going to say the item in my
name. Right. Colleagues, can we get a proposal for the adoption of the minutes of 14 February 2018? Thank you, Honourable Mbele, seconder. Thank you, Honourable Molabatsi. Thank you very much. Then we move to 6th of March, Goodhart Chamber, Goodhart Building. We've got the apologies in. Thank you very much. Maybe Minister of Police also just the initials, not the first name. Anything else on page one? We move to two.
Sorry,
yes, Honourable Kalabana.
Okay. The chairperson indicated that it was a follow-up meeting with the Crime Intelligence Unit, and then line 7, the arrest of the suspects who were involved, I believe, instead of which, in the cash in transit, what. Okay, that's all I've got on that page.
No, there's just maybe the same
paragraph. There's another one here. The third line. He said independent researchers were also invited to make make oral inputs, okay, because it's plural. Yeah, thank you. I knew there was another one. I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, in line 7 in the same paragraph, the acting provincial commissioner in the KwaZulu-Natal province has arrested police officers. Now, I don't know whether he's operationally deployed, but we must fix that sentence. Or maybe he indicated. The acting provincial commissioner in KwaZulu-Natal indicated that police officers were arrested for who were involved in corrupt activities.
The police officers who were involved in corrupt activities had been arrested.
Yeah. And then there's two sentences down regarding the Crime Intelligence Division, not unit, it's a division. And then in the officials, General Zimu, I presume he's got initials. Anything else on two? Can we move to three?
Yeah, past tense, who had been visited. And 22 were in the process. All members who had. Mentioned that there were 669.
Thank you, Honourable Calabona.
Done.
We must just maybe include Dr. De Kock in the beginning of those attending, and also his initial in 1-3.
No, he's not here.
Yeah, that last sentence in 1-3 can't be correct. It states as follows. He did not speak to his presentation due to the fact that most of the sections were covered in the SAPS presentation. He actually only dealt with certain slides, so we can actually delete that sentence.
What? Clearance certificates from the employees. or did they want to get a sense from the employees? Sorry, my mic's still on. It needs to be the other way around, yes? So get a sense from the employees if they were first-time applicants for clearance certificates.
With that issue is there was an invitation to everyone to apply for security clearance, and SAPS presented on it. And then I think it was Wolobatsi asked the question, but what about those who did not apply for security clearance certificates when they should have? And there was a group of them.
The committee asked the SAPS to explain what should explain. The missing word missing. Asked the SAPS should explain.
Chair, still on that point two,
yes.
To remove the ED from established committee, wanted to establish if the officials who failed.
Thank you very much. Yes.
On three, Brigadier Peke, is it Peke or Peta? I think it's Peke.
Peke with an E, that's correct, Chair.
But
E.
Again, T-L-H-E. T-L-H-E. Peke.
Colleagues, anything else on three? Can we move to four? In five, shouldn't there be a comma of the intelligence in general, you know, the former head of Crown Intelligence? Would be 1,174, is it only 174? I don't know. An indication was needed on of how many stations out of 174 are not currently having.
I'm not sure that it is 1,174 police stations.
No, it's fewer. It's fewer.
Fewer. I think this figure of 174, might have related to the group that haven't applied for security clearance. I'm not sure, but also the clusters. That could be the clusters, the number of clusters.
Okay.
I
think I remember this, because I remember actually asking a follow-up question to this. What was this meeting? This meeting was in March. Yeah, I'm not sure if it was... I think I asked a follow-up question to General Sithole in a meeting subsequent to this, but it came from, in the presentation, they said that there were 174 police stations that do not have crime information officers, which then links to the vacancies with crime intelligence analysts at cluster level. I think this was where I asked the follow-up question, because in a previous one, General Sithole, I remember it was in the PowerPoint, said that there were 174 stations that did not have CIOs. So I was asking, of that 174, how many are still outstanding to be allocated?
But should we admit how many stations out of 174 did not currently have
Yeah, thank you. Maybe under three as well, crime statistics, not just stats. In 10 years' time, the researchers are going to say, yeah, that's police committee. They used these abbreviations, yeah. In 20, 28 years.
On 11. Yeah, the committee strongly noted that it was time for SAPS to revise the recording crime categories, recording of categories. The recording, the problem with the recording.
The recording crime categories.
The okay.
Thank you, Honourable Malabatsi. Colleagues, anything else? Right, can we have a firm proposal for the adoption of the set of minutes of the 6th of March? Honourable Malabatsi, seconder. Thank you, Honourable Bailey. Colleagues, we move to 22 March, Old Assembly Building, Parliament. The tagging issue and the CIP bill. Page 1. There's the apologies in. Brigadier van der Walt. The initial, and it's a BRIG. Anything else on page 1? Can we go to 2? Yes.
Right at the top, in the first sentence, you further indicated the committee will receive, or would, should be, obviously, receive a briefing from the legal advisor. Now, I'm presuming, although there are two referred to in the beginning, that you mean the parliamentary legal advisor. So perhaps that should be put in there.
Okay.
There is another legal advisor
in your front. Yeah, from the parliamentary legal advisor. Right, thank you for that.
Is it the presentation of the parliamentary or by?
Thank you, Honourable Member. Thank you.
And number 3, the members wanted to get a sense of why needs an argument. I'm sorry, what is that inclusion of organs in? Who's organs?
Arts.
State
order, yeah. Thank you, Honourable Bailey. Now, maybe the 7, we must just say a member expressed his discomfort with the section on the application and publication process and not include any wanted to be convinced. I mean, that is maybe part of the deliberations, but
Chairperson, point number 8, he also felt that the process was preventing people from making applications. I think that they must fall off.
Yeah, a member. A member. Thank you, Honourable Markey. Anything else on 2? Oh, there we mentioned it, the DNA board. They're on page 3 at the top. Right, colleagues, if there's nothing else, can we get the proposal for the adoption of 22 March? Thank you, Honourable Mamula. Seconder, thank you, Honourable Bailey. Colleagues, we move to 29 March, 2018, Old Assembly Building Parliament. It's a 4-page document. We've got the apologies in. Anything on page 1? Can we go to 2? Maybe just in paragraph 1, second sentence. He indicated to the members that the committee will be receiving respectively two briefings respectively from the IPED and the DPCI in charge. Colleagues, anything else on 2? Anything? Bailey?
Chair, I think just the second last bullet point in 1.2, it should maybe read the report of or with the breakdown of complaints per province. It's just missing a word of the report.
Can you just repeat that on Bailey, sorry?
So the reports, maybe the reports containing the breakdown of complaints per province.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, anything else on 2? Then we go to 3. In 3, under 2, the second sentence, the members wondered, this was maybe a different word. The members... Yes. Yeah, we're on page 3 currently. Page 3. On to page 2. Okay. Thank you, Honourable Lobotsi. We're back on 3. Maybe just a clarification. A member was shocked and strongly condemned the allegations made against SAPS that it was bribing the IPED investigators to join the SAPS fail. To join this. Just maybe a full stop of the SAPS. Fail must fall. Colleagues, anything else on 3? We go to page 4.
On page 3, the very last point.
Yes.
That if should be deleted.
Yeah. The iPad
was asked what would be the way forward.
Thank
sorry,
you.
Their way forward, not forwarding also.
Thank you very much. We go to page 4. Maybe just a question mark in 9 should fall away at the end. And that sentence as well. It was also questioned about how made a recommendation for KGB to be reappointed. It was also questioned on how. On how a recommendation was made for KGB to be reappointed in service. Can you just come again on that one?
There was also a question about who made the recommendation.
Yeah, about who. In 11, the members, the key members of SAP, should that be a capital, that members?
Yeah.
Should it be?
No.
No.
Sorry,
yeah. Again, the question mark in 11 and 13 of the DPCI judge must fall. On 16, the DPCI judge was asked about its limitations of powers, or maybe the limitation of powers of his office or something like that. About the limitation of powers of his office. Because his own personal powers, you know. And then in 3, I think there's only one report. They said that the TPCI judge annual report. Yeah. And the logistics, does that refer to the tabling of the report or what? Because it says the logistics should be ratified as a matter of urgency. Now, what logistics is that? Is that the coffee and tea at 3 or what? Or just the leader?
Okay.
Thank you. So the logistics, are we going to have tea, coffee, 3? Okay. Right, honourable members, can we have a proposal for the minutes of 29 March? Honourable Mabija, you were absent at that meeting.
Chairperson?
Yes.
I'm not certain whether you have dealt with the issue I want to raise now. But the issue is that on page 1, we have Mhlongo, Mr. P, in the present and apologies. So I don't know if it was a slip of an I. It's on present and apologies.
Yeah, well, what is the exact issue you're raising?
It can't be present and absent.
Yeah, that is really very unique. So we'll ask the secretariat just to rectify and scrutinize the records. Thank you very much, Honorable Mabija. Can we have a proposal for adoption? Thank you, Honorable Molobasi, seconder. Thank you, Honorable Bele, appreciate it. All right, thank you. We move to 20 April. Old Assembly Building Parliament, B454. Colleagues, anything on page 1? Can we move to 2? Again, there is the issue of first names, Tumelo and Dawn. If we can just rectify that. The first paragraph, third sentence, directorate and the civilian secretary of police on the, so there's a repeat, on the annual performance plan. And 2-1, sorry, Honorable Bailey, you're welcome.
Actually, I suspect you were going to the same one.
Yeah.
The fourth bullet point, just to delete the apostrophe in employees.
Also in 2-1, the first line, the presentation made by the, by. So there's by the independent. So the second by must just fall. Thank you, Honorable Bailey. Yes.
Compensation of employees. Employees must be capitalized.
Thank you. Colleagues, anything else in 2? Can we move? Yeah, on page 3, second, on the 3-2, regarding IPAT, the members noticed that they were non-funded activities. Is it non-funded without the E? So the E must fall. Yeah, 3.3 is asked in the form of a question, so we'll have to just rework it. The iPad, does it have any form of rights to challenge?
Yeah, that's
getting changed. But look, let's start with 2. The members noticed there were no funded activities?
Without the hyphen.
Okay,
yeah,
so that's what you meant. All right. And the committee wanted a sense the sub-program would not be able to run smoothly. And then comes this number 3. Now, if you can make sense of that sentence, I'm fascinated to hear it.
You can run.
I think it should be that. IPAT reported that it did not have any form to challenge the outcomes. That he did not even arrive to challenge the outcomes of the recommendations made by SAPS. In disciplinary recommendations. Made by the SAPS in disciplinary recommendations.
So the deal is the IPIP makes recommendations to the SAPS. But once they look at the recommendations and chuck them out the window and they tap her on the wrist and say don't murder that person again, that's fine. Because the IPIP have got no comeback.
Gee, that's the problem. IPIP have complained about that. But the first thing that SAPS does is when IPIP makes a recommendation, if it's a disciplinary recommendation,
yeah,
they start their own investigation.
Yes.
So
then in 5, that the question mark must just fall away.
Yeah. It should also be was.
Was.
Any type of protection that was provided to the investigator. Next one, if there were specific criteria that were.
And then 7, the department was asked to submit an information on the vetting.
Any.
Any or some? What if we mean?
Any.
Submit information on the
vetting. This is in relation to the vetting of the IPAT investigators. So maybe we should include departments asked to submit any information on the vetting of investigators, Chair.
3, I think we must just qualify. It was noticed that there was a huge increase in the recruitment of staff. What? I don't know. I presume. I think Honourable Mushlungu raised that issue, but whether it is...
Maybe
that is rarely reported.
That could be possible, Chief.
Okay.
Really reported. That it really reports.
That rarely reported.
That it really reports.
Really reported about the sex.
Yeah. I want to probe that a bit further, because I have to believe if it was a point from Honorable Mhlongo, he must have been referring to something very specific, because we know that the Secretariat does report, they do their 6-monthly DVA reports, and they do table their reports about compliance with providing victim friendly services and all kinds of things. So there must have been something very specific that Honorable Mhlongo was referring to. I wonder if it's not, for example, the reports we just got last week around the state of policing and budget monitoring and that kind of thing, but I don't know what it was referring to.
Okay, I'm not sure if it was last week, but I can remember Honorable Mhlongo raising this point about the effectiveness of the civilian secretariat in the provinces. He was saying that, if I remember correctly, that the civilian secretariat is not effective, and that we have to change the legislation to make the civilian secretariat have branches in the different provinces. I'm not sure if that point relates to it.
No, we don't.
Yeah. Thank you, Chief.
Must die. The 11, I think we must just qualify that the CSP is to provide the details on the status of bills to be tabled in Parliament. Otherwise, on the bills, I mean, what does it say? To be tabled in Parliament. And in 13, why is the judge a small J? Judge has purchased an expensive vehicle for the judge. And again, the judge in 14 at the end was a judge. And again, CSPS, not CSP. But colleagues, anything else on 3?
Just on page 4, line 2, gave department opportunity to make any additional inputs where they felt they were needed, because it's referring to both,
yeah,
to both both IPID and CSP.
And in the final sentence, I mean, what was said was that the committee did not support the purchase of expensive, vehicles for, not for vehicles. I mean, it was qualified. Q7 is out. Q3 is must fall. Right, colleagues, anything else on 4? Right, colleagues, can we move, or is there anything else? Thank you, Honourable Bailey, seconder. Thank you, Honourable Molabatsi. Colleagues, we move towards 25 April. It's a two-page document. Oh, they're holding that back from me. Right, let's go to 24. It's a four-page document. Let's go to page 1. We've got the apologies. Again, there's a mistake at the end, Molefe Matsumele. It should be Mr. M. Matsumele, Manager Executive Support under the officials from CIRA.
Yeah.
Anything else under 1? Let's go to 2. Yes, Honourable Molabatsi.
Yeah. One sentence right at the top.
Yes.
He indicated that there have been changes effected on the committee's program. Full stop.
Yeah, activities must fall. Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Molabatsi. Honourable Robert Lacone.
He says the second sentence says he indicated that there has been.
Thank you. Yes.
The first sentence on the second paragraph.
Yes.
Towards extreme right, which were reported in the public domain. Said a day.
In there, yeah. Thank you.
And a small p.
Yeah, a small p as well. Thank you, Honourable Molabatsi.
Because there are two different spellings here for Skukuza.
There must be Skukuza as in line 3, yeah. Mm. Thank you, Honourable. I just want to check the factual correctness of that second bullet. The second incident occurred at Moses Mabhida Stadium in KwaZulu-Natal, where the game turned into violence. I don't think it was the game that turned into violence, it was the spectators who ran out to the field, and then the game itself was not violent per se. So we must just correct that.
Still on that paragraph, Chairperson.
Yes.
The third sentence, or the fourth, the property was damaged and even gone far to remove the cameras. I think it was just false.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Honorable Mula.
Yeah, second paragraph, line number 3, the fan went onto the field, not the fan.
Then the third bullet, still in the Kruger, it was worrying to discover that there was a police officer involved in such criminal activities, not is, involved in such. Now, maybe that last sentence in that same paragraph, the committee needs to relook at the Human Resource Division to ensure that it implements the standards and prescripts that are required in terms of code of conduct. Because, I mean, the adherence is the members individually, not the unit per se. Yes, Honorable Mulabatsi.
The members felt that in the same paragraph, the members felt that the capacity of public order policing was insufficient. Was it the feeling of the committee that they is insufficient?
At the match, I think that was the issue. Because I think in the discussions, I mean, there was, I can't remember the exact number, but members felt that there should have been more members. So we must maybe just clarify and say at the match, because there was also public order policemen deployed at other activities in the bigger Durban area on the same day. So that was part of the argument.
They deployed members.
Yeah, but not sufficient numbers.
But the way it's put, it's like, it's questioning their way of doing things.
Yeah, the members felt that the deployment, the number of the deployment was insufficient, the deployment. That was the material issue.
Yeah.
Yes, Honorable. Thank you, Honorable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm asking myself on paragraph 2, the last, or the third from the 18 National Commission. We were having an acting national commissioner on that day. Or oh, what, teacher?
No. It was I think it was the acting provincial commissioner of KZN. Thank you very much. It was the acting provincial commissioner, General Langa at that stage. Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Also, Chair, the
yes.
Same sentence. After the National Commissioner reported that he's busy, he's still busy. What is that?
Yeah, the SAPs. Yeah, the SAPs is still busy. Yeah, not it. Yeah, agree. Thank you very much, Mulabatsi.
The next bullet point. That's bullet point number 3. Third last sentence. It seems as if there is failing of discipline among the police.
Urban,
can
yes.
I propose? We say it appeared as if the discipline had failed. The discipline. It failed amongst the police.
Yes, thank you, Mom.
Chairperson.
Okay. Yes.
Presentation of the authority.
Yeah, it must be Sira. I mean, we don't know what authority.
What authority?
The uninformed reader won't know.
Yeah, because bullet 1.1 says the deputy chairperson of the authority.
Yeah, no,
the deputy chairperson of the council or of the what authority? Which authority?
So we're on page 3. Maybe in 2.1 again, just to indicate Sira, because we refer to the amendment bill, so the uninformed reader won't know what bill and who. Yeah, maybe paragraph 2 on a 2.2 first sentence. The committee was extremely concerned with serious crimes that are happening in the cash in transit environment, because crimes and heist are the same. So we don't need heist at the end of the sentence. what were the two services in four that required outsourcing? Is that internal audit? What was the other one? Was it research?
I am not sure about that one, Chief.
Five, the utilization of consultants was also a concern. Not concerning, was also a concern. That half of the money is used for payments for these services.
The budget.
That half of the budget is used. Then also the question mark in seven.
Just inform that the other service is the business review process.
Okay, so let's include that. Thank you. Colleagues, anything else on three?
Chair, just that second half of point seven is incomplete. To elaborate on issues affecting their function due to the SAP's conduct, it's just hanging without being linked to anything else.
So I mean, if just scrap it, the second line. Let's just scrap the second line in seven.
Question mark.
Yeah, thanks. Colleagues, anything else on three? Let's go to four. Right. Can we get the proposal for the adoption?
Sorry, so just before that, it's council, not board members.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Can we get the proposal for the adoption of the minutes of the 24th of April? Yes. Are your feelings very strongly about it? Okay, that's fine. Right, let's then get a proposal for 24 April. Thank you, Honourable Mula. Seconder. Thank you, Honourable Abachi. Colleagues, on that point, we're going to take a 5-minute coffee break, and we will come back to complete the last three. Thank you. 5 minutes.
Very poor grammar.
Around 2:15. They're supposed to be sitting up until they're scheduled to interpret. So the wait, the giant is still on the plane. There was a delay.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you also working for PMG?
I work for the SABC.
Oh, I see.
SABC News. This is Aline Merrington.
How long have you been working for them?
Probably 13 years.
13 years. What made you to become a journalist, in fact, writing for radio?
I don't know. I like writing and reading, and I like asking questions, I think.
Oh, is it because in terms of, because most people go into journalism because for the glamour, you know?
They must ask me where the glamour is, because there's nothing. There's no glamour in journalism.
There's no glamour.
No glamour.
No, but there is glamour in journalism. In terms of,
thank you very much for coming back. We now on 25 April 2018 in room 2, 90 Plain Street. We're going to page 1. In page 1, colleagues, there is just the issue of Brigadier van der Walt. It should be Brigger and also. We're on 25 April 2018, page 1. Brigadier and just also his initials. Colleagues, anything else on page 1? Can we move to 2? Then on page 2 at the top there, you also report to members that there will be, it can't be that, there will be. That there will be. And then there's a real spelling issue there. The committee secretary should invite the National Commission and the Acting Provincial Commission of KwaZulu-Natal to report on the incident occurred at Mabidi Stadium on... Maybe let's go for the full Moses Mabida. Mabidi. It was late in the committee section, I think, that night. Anyway. Two presentation of the department in clause 6, subsection 17, there should be a space, and the incision of the word written, shouldn't the written shouldn't be in italics, or that we just final one, the closing remarks. The chairperson thanked the members and the drafting team, members which should be small letter, for the input and contribution in the deliberations on the bill. we sit down deliberations. So we can say input, it's fine. Colleagues, anything else on page 2? We need one member. Where is the other members that we can just adopt this one? Thank you very much. Members, can we put the minutes of the 25th of April as amended? Honourable Mullah, thank you. Honourable Bija for seconding. Thank you very much. Then we move to the 9th of May. It's a 3-page document. Apologies is reflected. Then just again the issue of Mr. Milton Matwana and Brigadier van der Walt. Just the same issues that we raised in the previous session. That's page 1. Can we go to page 2?
Just on page 1, Chief.
Yes, Honourable
Robert. Consistency, the department, the abbreviation.
Yes, yes, the full indication.
Can you just say that maybe make one decision that all of them should be written like that so that we don't go back to that point?
Thank you very much. Then we go to page 2. Just then the issue of the letterhead appearing in page 2 and 3 at the top. Just to delete that for the final version. Maybe just on paragraph 3, the chairperson indicated that members of the committee still needs an outside legal opinion, not advisor, legal opinion regarding clause 26. So 2 must also fall away.
On page 3. That first bullet is section 3 of the critical infrastructure bill, or what?
Are you
on
page?
First bullet, from page 3.
Page 3, or?
Yeah, I was
on
page 3. I don't know where you are.
Yes.
Page 2?
Yes.
Point number 2. The chairperson tabled the budget report. Yes, class 4.
Thank you, Honourable Margie. Let's deal first with that and then we will come to Honourable Ramplakane. What is the member saying? Should it be the chairperson tabled or has tabled? Tabled. Okay, thank you for that. Colleagues, before we go to Honourable Ramplakane's point, anything else on page 3? Maybe the issue of the drafting team. I presume that should be small letters, D and T, drafting team. In the second paragraph on the 3. Let's go to Honourable Ramatakani's point on page 3.
I was just saying on the 5, Chair, the bullet 1.
Yes, of course.
The definition of section 3A of the critical infrastructure so that it's complete.
Yeah, no, that's quite important. Yeah, I think that one must be of the IPET Amendment Bill. Yeah. IPET Amendment Bill.
Chairperson, still on that one.
Yes.
Is it the definition in Section 3A or a definition of Section 3A?
Honorable Walker, can you just, I couldn't hear quite, can you just come again?
A concern was raised regarding the definition of Section 3A.
Yes.
Do we define a Section 3A, or does Section 3A have definitions in it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we must maybe, as indicated by Honorable Ramadlakhani, just to say Section 3A of the IPED Amendment Bill. No, so then we just qualify it like that. In the IPED Amendment Bill. Yeah, we can take the definition also out. Yes, colleagues, can we get the proposal? Is there anything else? Seconder? Then we adopt then the minutes of the 9th of May as amended. Thank you. Yeah. Then we move to the 23rd of May, M46 Marks Building, Parliament. Maybe SAPS should just be the space between South African Police Services and SAPS.
The person agenda, point number one, department by the SAPS.
No, they should be briefing you.
Briefing.
Thank you, Honor Marke. We've got apologies. Can we go to two? Then just the issue of brigadiers, the page 2, also the, again, the heading of the committee section.
And
yes.
Point number one, line number 7, on behalf of the Parliamentary Committee, the Chairperson extended sincerely condolences.
Sincere condolences. Thank you, Honorable Marquis. Thank you very much.
Still on that paragraph, the last sentence, he said that it is important.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Marquis. Maybe just at the bottom of page 2, the National Commission also appreciated the welcome or the appreciated the appointment of Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi. Colleagues, anything else on 2? Let's go to 3.
Committee deliberation. Rather, the committee made the following deliberation. On page 3?
Yes, yes. Yeah, the heading itself. Yeah, it is also in other minutes. Yeah, I also thought about but what would we suggest? Yeah.
We can just say committee deliberation.
Okay.
And we can standardize it.
Okay. But we can also do it then with the other approved ones. Thank you, Honorable Ramadakhani. I think we must just qualify on the 2.5 on the page 3. The members were unhappy about the transferred offices from the Western Cape to the Eastern Cape province, because that was the material issue. The last sentence was factually, I just want to check, the committee was of the view that the National Commission is not properly conducting its managerial and oversight role at the station levels. Did we say National Commission or National Management?
I think it was National Management. Check.
National Management. National Management, yeah. Okay. Just replace them that. Colleagues, anything else on page 3?
Not his managerial, their managerial.
Yeah. Anything else, colleagues, on page 3? Let's go to 4. Now, the second or third, fourth line, fifth line, under closing remarks, the committee supported the proposal was made.
That was. Just say something about the members. You know, when the police speak, they speak about the members. We should be speaking about police officials. When we talk about police officers, we can speak about officers or officials. But if we're going to become confused with members as...
No, I think so.
Right, colleagues, anything else on 4?
Sorry, if I may add on that, unless you always specify service members, for the police.
Colleagues, anything else on 23? Right, can we get a proposal for adoption of the amended minutes, 23 May 2018, Honorable Mabitsa? Seconder? Thank you, Honorable Mbele. Colleagues, then we come to the 5th of June. Is that the last set? Yes, that's the last set. Page 1. Thank you. We've got the apologies. Right. But can we move to page 2?
Page 2, first bullet point, the end. I think the term for that component is central fire. Is it firearm or firearms plural? But if it's plural, there's no apostrophe there. Is it firearms registry or firearm registry? Firearms, yeah. So just apostrophe to be deleted.
Sorry,
Chair, and the line above should go, and the status of performance information. Missing the of.
Thank you. Chairperson, the first paragraph, the last sentence, the acting chairperson of the authority.
Yeah, again of CIRA. Thank you. For the council. Thank you very much.
Entity in the same bullet, with a capital E. Yeah. On the second bullet, the CIRA noted that it would also be publishing. I think we must take up the word soon.
That's under?
And the second bullet.
Okay, yeah, check it, okay.
Chairperson,
yes,
bullet point number
3. Yes.
I think the sentence must just be changed. Or it will, something like it will also be reviewing the funding model and introduction.
One of the other
things.
Things,
no.
Colleagues, anything else on 2? Can we go to 3?
Still on 2.
Yes.
The second last sentence, an explanation was requested on policies. Policies, not police.
Thank you, Honorable.
So that paragraph, the little one in the middle, the director reported on. I don't know why it's the 1, 2, and 3 are not listed underneath. Because it ends up with there were 11 targets out of those 8 targets were achieved. That's not English. Which were achieved, but I don't know that you shouldn't have program 1, 4 steps, all
achieved. Program 2, 7, 6, 5
achieved.
Just boom, 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 underneath each other. And the paragraph,
it makes it very difficult to, and
you
shouldn't write
out
11. I'm
not
sure
being
numerical.
But anyway,
just
need
that. It looks
good.
Thank you.
We're on page 3.
Yes.
Honorable
Murabachi.
Okay. Members asked what, at the end, the was must fall.
Ten. Members asked what the state of readiness was in the cash and transit sector. Was. Oh, another was.
I'm back on number 1. Under 2, 1. The second part of the sentence. The members wanted to know whether there is unit.
A unit. A unit.
Whether there was a unit within the organization that was responsible for cash flow. That's what it should say.
Thank you, Honorable Colonel.
It's page 2.
Yeah.
Number 1, 2, 1.
That's right.
Alright, so the second sentence, the members wanted to know whether there was a unit within the organization that was responsible for cash flow. Alright?
Correct. That's page 2. Then we go back to 3.
Person, what did we say about number 10?
Of the transit sector, the second was must be deleted. And there's another was of the firearms. Shouldn't that one also be?
No, it should read. Members asked what the state of readiness in the cash in transit sector was and what the standard of firearms, what the standard is.
Okay, can we just read you the whole thing? Members asked about the state of readiness in the cash in transit sector. And get rid of all the words, okay?
I think we must delete the refugee.
Yeah. Asked about the state of readiness in the cash in transit sector and about the standard of firearms. What does that mean, standard of firearms?
I have no idea.
Is this in relation to the cash in transit price or just how are your guns today? What does it mean?
I wasn't in that meeting, sorry.
It means the calibers of firearms that are to be used, shotguns or what or what.
In combating cash and transit?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. Chicken, I didn't propose.
Yeah.
Okay. We go with what Ms. Bonabachi has raised. Members ask about the state of readiness and the caliber of firearms used in the cash and transit sector.
Perfect. There we
go. Okay, thank you. Yes.
Oh, 15.
Yes. Sorry, honorable Marquis.
I'm still not very clear on the term. The state of readiness and the firearms used by whom? By the Tutsis or used by
South Sudan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Can it? It's still not clear for me.
Maybe what we can do is to answer Mr. Marquis. Members asked about the state of readiness of the cash of the SEPs and the private security industry and the caliber of firearms used by criminals in the cash and transit sector. I don't know. I'm clogging it up now.
Okay. It is fine again.
And there be two sentences or two bullet points. One about the caliber that is used by Tutsis, the other one about the state of readiness.
It could be.
Members asked about the state of readiness in terms of fighting cash in transit robbery. They queried which caliber of firearms criminals used and which caliber SEPs members had to respond. Something like that. That makes more sense. Different sentences down the line.
Right, members, everybody happy with that proposal? Thank you, Honorable Colabonard.
That was my query, because remember, because the presentation had mentioned that their staff cost ratio, so 58% of their budget was spent on salaries,
okay.
But they indicated that that it wasn't optimal, that they wanted to change it. So I was asking, what were they then aiming for if where they are now was not what they called optimal? But that can be all simplified.
Staff cost ratio 58%. Is that what it means?
Mm.
So not percentage.
Not true. Yeah.
It should be given with the optimal, yes. What percentages are they aiming for?
Mm.
To achieve the ratio. Does that mean ratio?
Ratio, yeah.
So, colleagues, we're going to be about 14, all those question marks.
Yeah, but no, it shouldn't be like that. The committee asked what percentage CIRA was aiming for, whether they were currently trying to achieve that percentage, and how long it would take for them to achieve it.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Excellent, excellent. Colleagues, anything else on 3?
Okay.
Yes.
15 is, I'm not clear what does it mean. The authority should elaborate on the inspector's assistant functions and role.
I think it's inspector's assistant.
Oh, assistant inspectors.
They hired some assistant inspectors.
No, so it should be assistant inspector, not assistant. That's
assistant,
incorrect. Just
it should be capital A.
Yeah.
So the role of the assistant, what do they do? Assistant inspectors.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Mulabachi.
23,
Chair. Yes.
The members were confused when it should be they head.
Sorry, which number?
23. When they head. Eh? And then the next sentence. The members were under the impression.
Yeah, I think the word confused is not correct in that context. The members were
also
questioned, yeah.
The report that the bank charges increased due to the renewal of certificates. And whether the authority was generating income out of the renewable certificate. Have you got that?
I think
Obama,
sir.
Anyone?
Thank you very much, members, for that. anybody? We're nearly there. We're nearly there.
Okay. Chairperson 12.
Yes.
A member
was extreme. Yes.
Do we usually say that? The committee or members, but a member singling him or her out.
They've done that throughout. A member was terrified by this. A member was a new innovation.
Yeah, I think it's fine, Honorable. It's fine. We can. Are you happy, Honorable Waki? You can live with it.
Right,
anything else on page 4?
The criteria, that is, the criteria is plural. So you can't say is used. The criteria that are used when determining the deployment of the officers. What is meant?
So maybe just under 3, the committee noted the progress made by the council during the last quarter, or the quarters. Closing remarks by the chairperson,
yes.
During the quarters, or during the last 2 quarters, because it was the report on the last 2 quarters. Honourable Yisma Bija?
Three.
Yes.
Closing remarks by the chairperson.
Yes.
The chairperson thanked the members, the authority, for their input.
And,
there's something wrong.
And the authority.
And the authority. Colleagues, anything else?
On 24, a serious complaint, should it be a complaint?
Serious.
The committee queried the long distances traveled by raised a concern about the long distances.
And then, Chair, just one last small correction. Under closing remarks, second line, committee will be waiting to receive delete A, just to receive feedback from the other.
Right, thank you very much. Colleagues, anything else?
Nothing else, Chair.
Can we?
No. We've done that. Can we get a proposal for this adoption? And a seconder, thank you. Can we just get the board, please? Is the judge here or not? Remember, colleagues, they've indicated that she will be at a 4:45.
She'll be here now, at 4:45.
Yeah. But thank you very much, members, for your input and contribution during the minutes, Honorable Malabatsi. Input and contribution. Okay, it's past 4:45. Can you have for us any feedback?
Thanks, Chair. I just got a call from the judge to say that she was in the shuttle and she was on her way, so I think about 15 minutes and she should be here.
Members? Maybe let's get a presentation. Let's get it. And when the judge arrives, let's deal with it. But let's not waste time. Let's get the presentation. You can go ahead, sir. Thank you.
If we had that now, what was the reason for us not to do it then? We must wait because we kept them waiting. So she's coming. So we wait because we have this thing at a stop, at a pause. Now still he's not here. We want to start. What does that mean?
I hear you, member, but you see the reality is we've got limited time. Yes, Honourable Robert Lacan, I'll take the members. Yes.
No, Chair, I think that isn't it that we have allocated ourselves until 5, isn't it? So we still have time. I think let's just deal with the issues until 5 and then get done with the day, actually.
Well, Mapicha, is that the reality is the Parliament's recess is coming soon. So if we don't utilise today effectively, even with a late coming of the board member, we must utilise the time. We've got the duty to ensure what's... We must get a good feel of what's happening in that environment. So let's have it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable members, I'm just going to do a very brief presentation of the board's annual report for 2016-17. The first slide is just an overview of some of the key areas that's covered in the presentation. In terms of the introduction, this is just a quick recap on the sections in the DNA Act that provide for the establishment of the board, section 15V, and then as well as some of the board's statutory obligations that's outlined in section 15Z of the Act. I'll just go through those three very quickly because I think those are important when you're looking at, you know, how the board is and has been functioning. So firstly, the board has to provide regular independent oversight over the overall operations of the National Forensic DNA Database. Then ensuring legal, ethical and social implications are considered in the use of forensic DNA in criminal investigations. And then lastly, the board also has an obligation to receive and assess and investigate any complaints it may receive regarding any alleged violations relating to the abuse of our DNA samples and forensic DNA profiles that have been used, as well as any potential security breaches in the database or in the processes or the value chain around the analysis of DNA samples. The next slide just gives you an overview of the board members. There was a question earlier around how many board members and the split, so that just tells you that we've got 5 civilians and the rest are all from the public service, or 6 actually. And then we've got 4 public service members from justice, health and correctional services, including the secretariat would be the 4th one.
Now, maybe just on that slide, I just want to say, that's a major concern to the committee, and we'll also indicate to the judge. I mean, maybe if the civilian members is not present due to other commitments, but, I mean, we've got civil servants.
Yeah.
Who are not here? It is totally unacceptable. But we'll discuss it as a committee. What will be our view? Should we, communicate with the principals, but I mean, they must be here. You can continue, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Then just in terms of the governance arrangements for the board has developed its own governance rules and procedures in line with Section 15X2 of the Act, and then those governance rules and procedures are supported by the establishment of those subcommittees that are listed there, and they would obviously, you know, as and when the need arises, focus on specific areas. The subcommittees that have been the most active since the board's establishment has mainly been the systems reports and gap analysis, and then the finance and risk, as well as the transitional arrangements. Those are where most of the activities of the subcommittees has been focused in the period since the board's establishment.
Just a moment, Honourable Mabija, you want to come in? Thank you.
I'm not satisfied. Both members are not here, isn't it? And the judge is not here. And it's like tomorrow we are not going to have a committee meeting. And I don't understand why we need to be unfair to this session. To do it haphazardly, they don't even, they are not here. Why don't we push it forward to tomorrow afternoon?
Remember, we already made the call that we will continue with the briefing and the judge will be with us soon. No, we were going to continue. I hear you, but we need to utilize this last hour. You can continue, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. The next slide just gives you an overview of the strategic objectives that were identified by the board for 16-17. The first one relates to the appointment of the DNA Secretariat with a full staff support staff complement. The primary responsibility of that secretariat would be to assist the board in both developing and implementing its reporting obligations as outlined in the Act. Secondly, the relevant subcommittee, and in this case the subcommittee would be the systems report subcommittee, should continue liaising with the nodal contact point within the forensic science lab to assist it in completing its oversight reports. The sentence offender sampling program that needs to be prioritized, and that's something that will probably be the focus of some discussion later on, that is in relation to the expiry of the transitional arrangement period, the two-year period, in terms of Section 7.7 of the Act that allowed for the retrospective sampling of all convicted offenders for Schedule 8 offenses dating back from 2015 backwards. The next priority was to look at finalizing a policy on familial searching, and that needed to be implemented in the current financial year. Then the continued monitoring of sample collection and the oversight around the performance of the database. Then overseeing the implementation of the NFDD software solution to allow for comparative searches to be conducted, and then lastly, just to monitor the rollout of the buccal swab training within SAPS. These were some of the operational challenges that the board had listed for the period. The secretariat was not appointed during the 2016 financial year, and the board felt that that had impacted negatively on its ability to properly map out and implement its statutory reporting functions. Then secondly, the board still continues to operate without sufficient office space, as well as the necessary IT infrastructure to ensure that the board could be a bit more efficient than it has been to date. The third point is something that the board has felt very strongly about, and it's the development of a logo that would distinguish the board from the civilian secretariat as well as other stakeholders within the criminal justice sector. The board feels very strongly about the need to establish the board as an independent body and to communicate that independence in ways such as having a separate logo. The last point relates to there was a situation where members were not being remunerated for their out-of-pocket expenses. That was, however, resolved, and from May 2017, payments had been made. Continuing on the implementation challenges, in terms of Section 15M2, it states that familial searches may be conducted in respect of missing persons and unidentified human remains. However, the functionality to conduct familial searching had not been developed or outsourced by CETA, and it was anticipated that it would be developed or acquired during the 2018 financial year. I can give an update on that when we get there.
But in short, it's got to do with CETA's inability. Or
yes, yeah. Then in order to conduct familial searching, the Forensic Science Lab has said that they need a 21 loci marker kit. Currently they use a 16 loci marker kit. Increasing it to a 21 loci marker kit just makes it that much easier to conduct those familial searches and to match profiles in the missing persons and unidentified human remains index. That is obviously a process that would involve, retesting of the chemistry kits and validation, so that there are cost implications from moving from a 16 loci to a 21 loci kit. In terms of the quality management processes and the framework, the proper management of the NFDD naturally hinges on the proper implementation of a quality assurance framework. The Forensic Database Management section was during the 2016-17 financial year was certified compliant in terms of that ISO standard, so they have made significant progress in that regard. I'm sure members would also be aware of the recent Henry Fund Brutal case where the quality management issues came up very strongly. So I think the fact that the captain did really well in explaining, why the quality management framework in and of itself is sufficient enough to make sure that the results are accepted, I think, it's quite something. The next slide just gives you an overview of the various indices and the number of profiles that were loaded on the various indices at the time of the 2016-17 close of the financial year. You'd obviously see that your crime scene index and your arrestee index was quite high. Concerning is the lower number in the convicted offender index, because that's where a lot of your samples also needed to be taken. There obviously has been improvement in that. So if you look at the most recent data, there has been a significant growth in the convicted offender index, but I still don't think it's sufficient enough yet, and there's a number of reasons why they haven't been able to sample those convicted offenders, and I think that's something we can also get to during the Q&A. Another key aspect that the board has identified through its oversight meetings with the Forensic Science Lab has been challenges around the follow-up of forensic investigative leads that get generated by the lab. So in terms of Regulation 9 of the regulations that accompany the Act, every provincial commissioner has to ensure that forensic investigative leads are investigated and resolved, and then the divisional commissioner along with the provincial commissioner must ensure that those investigations are coordinated and communicated both across station and provincial boundaries to make sure that there's a seamless approach to how these cases are investigated, because that's where your biggest potential for gain lies in apprehending serial offenders and also offenders that would progress from, lesser crimes into more serious crimes. So starting out with petty thefts, then to a bit more serious rape, murder, house robbery, etc. So the functioning of those task teams is extremely important in making sure that we're able to deal with the high recidivism rate in the country. Every task team is then expected to consolidate leads based on various issues such as modus operandi, DNA, and fingerprints. When the board met with the Forensic Science Lab at some point, it came to the attention of the board that there was a significant number of leads that were not being followed up. And you'll see that coming out in the next slide. For instance, if you look at Gauteng, so Gauteng had a total of 993 non-suspects that were linked to 1,322 suspects. And as the data has progressed, you would see there's been a decline in the number, or there's been an increase, sorry, in the number of outstanding leads that have been followed up. So in order to find a way of addressing that, the board took a decision to write to the National Commissioner to raise its concerns around what the potential challenges would be around the functioning of these task teams. So initially, the question was, you know, just to check if these task teams in fact have been established, and if so, you know, what are the possible reasons for why they're not able to follow up on these leads. The National Commissioner responded sometime in November, I think, and provided a list of all of the nodal points for the various provincial task teams across the country. So the board then met with the Gauteng team on the 8th of May this year. And a lot of what had come out there was that, as a start, these task teams are informal structures. So with that, there's no dedicated resources that come with it. So they're being assigned from different places, different stations, clusters. So you have, you know, a few offices put together, but in a very informal way. And those task teams can also be disbanded at any point, which presents a lot of challenges for them in being able to follow up on the leads. So in the letter to the National Commissioner, the board had proposed that perhaps the regulations get amended to make sure that these task teams are more permanent structures, that obviously with that would come dedicated resources, you know, vehicles, etc. We have written to the National Commissioner, but we haven't had a response on that as yet. The next slide is just a graphic representation of the figures that was provided in the previous table. So I'm not going to go through that. Then in terms of DNA analysis performance, since the inception of the Act, you'll see there's been a significant increase in both the number of cases registered as well as the number of cases finalized. So we've got increases of 765% and 883% respectively. However, one of the challenges that the Forensic Science Lab has mentioned to the board is that the staff or the resources that they have is not sufficient to cope with the significant increase in the number of cases that they're receiving. So they've only had a 4.4% increase in the total staff complement over the same period, which they felt, you know, is not sufficient to sustain the gains and the progress that has been made in the early stages of the building of the and populating of the database. The FSL in the beginning had made use of a lot of interns and overtime to try and, you know, put a buffer in to make sure that they're able to still maintain and deal with the high caseload that was coming in, but they had exhausted their overtime budget very quickly, so it became very difficult for them to sustain that. Then there was also challenges that they had around the StarLab software, and that was an issue with CETA that didn't have the capacity to provide the required technical support to make sure that a lot of the critical equipment is being maintained. So there have been ongoing discussions, but there hasn't really been a resolution to that just yet. Also, there was an issue around the earmarked CJS funding that had initially been allocated for purposes of procurement of the buccal sample kits, consumables, as well as the specialized equipment, but I think it was also around November last year where they were informed that the earmarked funding would no longer be available for recurring costs such as your buccal sample kits and your other consumables, which then meant that SAPS would have to increase their baseline budget to be able to accommodate that. So that is a recommendation that the board has put forward to see if they can increase the baseline budget of SAPS to ensure that they're able to still procure the various consumables and kits. I've mentioned the issue around the increase of 765% vis-a-vis the low number of staff, so I'm not going to go through that again. But basically, just to reinforce the point that the lab would not be able to cope with the high volume of cases coming in, with the challenges that they face in terms of staff and other resources. And this is just, again, a representation of the figures that was displayed on the previous slide. This will give you an indication of the number of posts that were requested across the different laboratories and how many posts were actually allocated. So if you look at the first three, 13, 58, and 5, and not one of those were given posts. So that is a concern for the lab, that they are requesting these posts, but they're not been given the posts. So it's making them very difficult for them to sustain the high number. Then in terms of the taking of buccal samples, Section 3062 of the Act regulates the taking of samples from persons that have been arrested and charged for Schedule 8 offences.
Welcome, Judge Mokoro. Good to see you. Yeah, you can go ahead, sir. You can continue.
Thanks. So there has been an improvement of 31% since the inception of the Act to 77.6% at the end of 2016-17, and that's in terms of the taking of buccal samples. But currently there are significant challenges around the low number of kits, and in some stations completely depleted levels of sample collection kits, which is making it difficult. And also we've been informed that there's a lack of stock at the Division Supply Chain Management. Now the board is also aware of the other issues that have come to light recently, and the scope of process, you know, and some of the issues that have been highlighted there around the evergreen companies and procuring kits from the same suppliers, as well as getting the same companies or manufacturers to come in and maintain the equipment. So in that case, the board has also proposed that a letter be sent to the minister to look at ways of, I'm sorry, to the National Commissioner to look at possible ways of dealing with the declining stock levels while some of the other processes are given the space to conclude. Then in terms of the National Register for Sex Offenders, the Act requires that anyone who appears in the NRSO, their details should also be captured. The board had significant challenges in trying to get the information from the registrar in terms of the details of individuals who have been captured in the register. At the time of finalization of the report, the board had not had any response from the registrar and had not received the data as requested. However, subsequent engagements with the registrar, we have made some progress. Some of the data has been received, but a lot of the data that has been received is not complete. So SAPS are unable to use that data and integrate it into their system because, for instance, there would be information such as the case number that's missing or the station details. And that all makes it difficult for SAPS to transport that information and put it into their system so that they're able to check if there's any links to any of those individuals. That is something that the board will be working with both SAPS as well as Department of Justice, the NRSO registrar, to find a way of, you know, kind of completing the gaps, to filling in the gaps at least in terms of the missing information, so that we have a complete a picture as possible. Then, in terms of Section 7 of the Act, there was a two-year transitional period that had been put in place to allow for the retrospective sampling of all offenders who had been convicted for Schedule 8 offenses. That two-year period expired in January 2017. And at the date of expiry, not all of the convicted offenders had been sampled. There were various reasons for that. There were some issues around the training of police officers that needed to take the buccal samples. The training started late. There was some system integration issues that between SAPS and DCS they needed to work through. And then also there were, in some instances, refusals from some convicted offenders to submit themselves for the taking of buccal samples. So effectively, at the date of expiry, there was still a backlog of convicted offenders that needed to be sampled. So based on the recommendations of the Transitional Arrangement Subcommittee, the board then proposed that the Act be amended specifically to make provision for a new two-year period that would allow for all of those outstanding convicted offenders to be sampled. And I think Advocate Bell will probably speak to that in a bit more detail later, because the presentation of that bill to JCPS Cabinet 2 weeks ago was deferred on the recommendation of the Minister, but as I said, Advocate Val would give a bit more detail there. The bill then also provides a penalty in respect of the refusal to submit to the taking of a buccal sample, because currently the Act doesn't compel anyone to submit to the taking of a buccal sample. So that's one measure that has been put in place to try and deal with refusals in certain cases by inmates to submit for the taking of a buccal sample. And then, as indicated, the board would, moving forward, continue to work very closely with the CSP legislation unit to find ways in how best it can support the CSP in getting this bill moved through. We have discussed certain proposals, but I think, again, I'll leave that to the Q&A to find the best possible way of expediting it, because the longer it stays not approved, we have numbers of convicted offenders that are possibly being released and their samples are not being taken. So those are important hits that you're missing, and offenders that could be tracked down and linked to numerous other cases. So this is a really important bill that we need to find a way of expediting as a matter of urgency. Then just in conclusion, as I said, emphasis must be placed on expediting the processing of the amendment bill to ensure the continuation of the convicted offender sampling program. Then also the board will continue to engage all of the provincial commissioners around the challenges that are being faced by the provincial task teams in following up on the forensic investigative leads. And then third and lastly is to find urgent measures to put in place to address the challenges related to the procurement of buccal sample kits, laboratory consumables, as well as the maintenance of critical equipment. So, for instance, in the Pretoria lab at the moment, there's one machine down, which obviously eventually leads to a backlog of cases being processed. So somewhere an intervention is needed to find a way of unblocking some of those challenges so that the critical equipment is serviced and maintained, and that all of the necessary consumables and kits are being procured so that we ensure that sample collection still takes place at station level. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation. Welcome, Judge. We know the logistics is fine. You don't have to explain. We've got 45 minutes left, so I want to go straight to the questions. I'll start. I first want to deal with the issue of governance issues, and I will direct it to Judge Mokgoro. Judge, in your view, is the DNA board still functional? In the 2016-17 financial year, there was only 4 board meetings, and there was 8 meetings in 2015-18. I just want to know, in terms of an oversight perspective, what is your view? Is it functional or dysfunctional?
No,
you will get an opportunity to give on record. So we want to have that assurance. Then the late tabling of the DNA board's report to Parliament, again, the factors led to the late tabling. You know, if we can just have an explanation. And then there was serious challenges from the civilian secretariat to get your annual performance plan tabled due to matters of independence and so on. But the dilemma is, looking from outside, I mean, is there a crisis in the DNA board? Let's go to the other members. Honourable Molabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah. We were told there are serious shortages of DNA kits at the local police stations. What is your response to that? My next question is, The committee was told on the 6th June 2018 by the CSP that the DNA board is reluctant to compile and make available an annual performance plan to the CSP. What is your response to that? My next one, have the board received any reports on the records of the destruction of bodily samples? How many? We can just go on. Okay, I'll stop there for now.
Thank you. Honorable Carlo Bonner.
Yeah, we sat with the Civilian Secretariat a week or so ago, and the secretary said, the DNA, I'm quoting because I typed it down, the DNA board has been dysfunctional. That's why the bill has been returned. They have focused on issues that are the mandate of the accounting officer. They think they have oversight over the accounting officer, who they think must report to them. The board has declined to submit the annual performance plan. They say it questions their independence. He said again and again that the board was dysfunctional. And the DNA board is supposed to monitor, for example, children and DNA, but they don't. And he talked about the possibility of the board being dissolved. And he went on about the fact that the judge was bought a car.
This judge, I must just clarify.
Okay, that was the other judge.
It's
okay.
Not this judge.
But the DNA, he referred to the board as being dysfunctional. So I thought you needed to have a chance to respond to that. Kind of came out of the left field, and we were quite surprised. But I also want your input on what seems to me to be various failings by other entities that are acting like handcuffs to you. The CETA there's no way it should even be attempting to develop the familial search function. It's used as a matter of course in many countries, but as a crime-fighting tool. In this instance, that was ruled out, as I recall, in the legislation, but it's to identify bodies, etc. I mean, how hard can it be to purchase it from elsewhere? I don't know what the delay is. I feel like we passed this bill so long ago, and here we are discussing the nitty-gritty of it. It's quite the most bizarre situation. You claim also, and we oddly enough had the head of the forensic labs sitting in the committee recently and said there were no problems and he was on top of everything. I did ask for a detailed list of the backlogs, which has not arrived. But you're saying the labs are not coping with the increased numbers. That's what we predicted at the time. That's what the millions were supposed to be spent on the labs to ameliorate that possibility. So please fill us in with the situation at the laboratories. I'm horrified but not surprised that the registrar of the sex offenders register has not provided you with the relevant details to get those people on the database. I mean, schools don't check the registry. Nobody checks the registry. Nobody's looked at it. We have teachers who are sex offenders teaching our children. We have them running Cubs clubs for children and babies. It's a catastrophe. And so I want to know exactly what he has said. You have it in writing that he's refused to give it to you, because we need to obviously follow that up quite seriously. I'll leave it at there for the moment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bonner. Thanks very much, Chairperson. Okay, Siri can pipe down. and that's for the presentation. Chair, my first question is on the point that you touched on, which is the decline in the number of board meetings from the 15-16 financial year to 16-17. And I'm asking that in relation to the point made
concerning the governance arrangements, where the committee was told that subcommittees have now been established. And I would just like clarity, because this is my deduction, but I just want clarity. Does the establishment of the subcommittees mean that much of the, or some of the deliberation and work that would have been done at board level has now been delegated to subcommittees? And that might be the background picture to the decline in the number of board meetings. But if that is the case, am I correct in understanding that the subcommittees themselves are still only comprised of board members themselves, many of whom, as it says, have to double up by serving on more than one committee? And if that's the case, does that not spell some systemic risks around, one person being offline for a period means that two, three subcommittees become hobbled in their work? So just some clarity on the link between the governance arrangements through subcommittees, if that's part of the explanation for the decline in the number of board meetings, and the risks that you've encountered in that arrangement. You know, at least three board members, I assume, being on subcommittees, doubling up across subcommittees, and where you might then encounter some bottlenecks in that regard. My second question, Chair, is a slightly higher-level one, and I think it's similar to one that I asked the Auditor General when we had them before the committee earlier on this year. What's quite clear from the Amendment Act that established the DNA Board is that the board is established primarily as an oversight body, and it's established as a kind of regulatory body, if you will, in a way. So all the operationalization of the obligations in the DNA Act are at the onus of the SAPs. And it's through exercising your resources and your oversight mandates that you try to nudge things along and facilitate certain things happening. But the ultimate management authority and the budgets and use of budgets that makes things happen on the ground in implementation resides entirely in the SAPs and, to a degree, the Department of Health and Correctional Services. Do you actually have meaningful muscle and teeth to play a meaningful role in that multi-stakeholder system? Because I remember asking the Auditor General, they've now been assisted by the Public Audit Amendment Bill, having the powers to make direct referrals to the NPA for criminal allegations, as well as having sort of more teeth in the enforcement powers of their audit findings. Are you finding that you are similarly disempowered as the AG had been previously? Because you can write all the letters to the National Commissioner, you can have all the meetings with divisional commissioners, you can request reports and information. I think any oversight body in this country will tell you that the lack of teeth is the biggest Achilles tendon in our state architecture, because if there's no political will or there's no management competence in the hands of the people who actually do the job, you might as well bang your head against a brick wall. So just some perspective and some feedback from you in that regard. And then finally, just flowing from the presentation, I wasn't quite clear on what Mr. Rogers meant by this point that there are cast numbers and station details that are missing in order for the SAPs to check their records. I wasn't quite sure information missing from whom to be given to the SAPs, and what that kind of process flowcharts that I'm not quite seeing in my head, because cast numbers would originate from the SAPs themselves. So where do they go to that something goes missing by the time it comes back to the police? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Mabija. Honorable Ramadakani, you're welcome.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. Just a quick one. The question, and welcome to the judge. The one, I just want to understand the judge, the in terms of the act, in terms of the act, who is the, who's got the responsibility in terms of financial management of the board, and who does all the kind of projections of it. The second one is this issue about out-of-pocket expense. Maybe if you could just comment on that, because I look at your the report that there was in the previous year under expenditure, a huge under expenditure on what was allocated. The second, the third question is this question about the your the rules, governance and rules and procedures. Has the board been able to make sure that there is the clearly the rules and procedure that governs the functionality? If there is, can we basically get the copy of that? I think this there's a requirement in terms of Section 15, X2 of the Act, that has to happen. So in terms of the annual performance plan, just what are the issues? What is the issues that are problematic in ensuring that those that are supposed to be done in terms of the Act as well are done? I mean, there already a question that has been asked about the issue about the independence. If the judge could just explain that issue. I note that the money, the budget comes from the secretariat, civilian secretariat, which then means that already, if there is an issue about independence, that issue of the money is also going to be an issue that is caught up in that problem of the independence. Otherwise, and there's another issue about the DNA profile, the removal of this from the arrestees from the index since the inception of the board. If the judge could explain that a little bit more so that we understand it. And Chair, let me leave it there. There are four questions that I've asked.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one question. There's operational challenges like brand identity or logo, office space, supporting IT infrastructure, and so on. I was under the impression that these are administrative issues. Where is the blockage in relation to some of these things? Who is supposed to come up with the logo? If it's the board itself, why doesn't they do it? And who is to blame for some of these things? Because I was under the impression they are simply administrative. It can't be an operational challenge if it can be done at any time. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mimis, for the questions. Over to Judge Mokgoro, and I would say the rest of the board, because they're not here, but I mean, there's also the Civilian Secretary who's also welcome to respond. Judge Mokgoro, over to you.
So much, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity.
And once more, even if you said I need not apologize, I do apologize for these logistical difficulties that I experienced today. And thank you so much, Honorable members of the committee, for the questions and the concern that I see you share with us. I will respond to the questions that I think I can respond to, and then Mr. Rogers will take those administrative questions, and I'll ask Ms. Bell to respond to the questions that the civilian secretariat should respond to. The question of the functionality of the board is, in my view, Mr. Chairman, a startling one. I have had an opportunity to listen to the audio clip of the proceedings in which Mr. Rapia made that startling, gave that startling view that the board is dysfunctional, and responding that what might have to be done is to dissolve the board. I do not want to go into the history of the operation of the board. I would only say that up to when we appointed the director last year, only last year, the board operated all by itself. We have, in that regard, established subcommittees through which the board operationalized its work. The board itself became the policy creating functionary, and through the subcommittees which established protocols and charters, we created those rules, which rules and procedures through which the board would exercise its oversight functions in terms of the Act. At the time, we only had one person who the secretariat, civilian secretariat, so to say, loaned to us before we appointed her as a full-time person to assist us with making arrangements for our various meetings and taking minutes. In other words, she was just a scribe. Everything else we did ourselves. Since Mark Rogers arrived in 2017, in June 2017, we've had the assistance or the semblance of an executive. Right now, we only have Mark Rogers and Noluthando Quba, who is the secretary of the board. We don't have a secretariat. We have a budget of 3.1 million. And we have to operate with that budget. We have plans to create a fully fledged secretariat with supporting staff. We need space. We cannot appoint a much needed deputy director who will also serve as a much needed investigating officer who would go around to the provinces and do the work that the subcommittees might have to do. Follow up work that the subcommittees might have to do. The number of meetings
we have decided as a board might have to be reduced to 4 a year. Unfortunately, we cannot even do that because we are almost like a functional board, an executive board, whereas we are a board which should be focusing on the mandate of in terms of the act.
Judge, can you just hold it there? Honorable Bachi, just to follow up.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I make a humble request that the judge responds to the questions? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, member. Judge, you can do it. Thank you.
So in my view, all the work that we've been doing, the meetings that we've had, those subcommittee meetings which feed into the role that the board plays, monitoring and exercising oversight at the nodal points, in my view, is evidence that the board is doing the work that the Act has mandated it to do. Mr. Rapia of the Civilian Secretariat is a board member. He's part of the board. All the questions that the honorable members asked regarding the functions of the board with respect to the role of the subcommittees and whether they, the work that they do and the meetings they had feeding into the decisions of the board are part of board meetings, the protocols that have been created in terms of which the subcommittees operate, the meetings that we have with the forensic sciences units where we question the statistics, the DNA data that they provide us with, all point to the board exercising its oversight role, its monitoring role. And for me, as you asked, Honorable Chair, do I think the board is functional? I think it is. We have constant meetings, we deal with reports, we have, Mr. Rogers will let you know why we have not submitted our annual performance plan. We have plans in place. Mr. Rogers is currently making arrangements for us to have a strategic plan, planning session, out of which we hope we'll be able to have a decision on how and what a deputy director will be doing and out of which an annual performance plan will be derived. As far as I am concerned, as chairperson of the board, I think this board is working very hard and is wholly functional, and it is proceeding with its work in terms of the mandate that the Act has provided for it.
Judge, maybe just a short follow-up. Because the issue of what is the duties of your board members, did Mr. Rapia raise those issues at board level, his concerns about the dysfunctionality in those kind of matters?
When I said I was startled, as the members were, with the messages that they sent me, he has never raised it in the board meetings. In fact, if Mr. Appiah doesn't come to the meeting, he would ask Dawn, Ms. Bell, to stand in for him. The last time when Mr. Appiah attended a meeting was when we discussed the budget. And
the lean budget that we have and how crippling our budget is to our ideas of appointing more staff, getting space of our own, putting together plans for a strategic planning session. Mr. Rogers had got us some quotations, and we couldn't even, we discussed among ourselves and agreed that we couldn't even pay 200,000 rand. We thought it was just too much for a strategic planning session. And we discussed our budgetary issues, which preclude us from getting the resources that we require to be fully functional. And he agreed with us that we need to have a ring-fenced budget. We discussed all of those things which strengthen the board as opposed to giving up on the board and making or giving views that the board is dysfunctional. It can. Mr. Apia never did that. At least not with us, not in a board meeting. Or even with me, because Mr. Apia and I have this one-on-one meeting sometimes for administrative decisions where he needs to consult with me, just as Mr. Rogers also has. But even on a one-on-one basis, he has never made that assertion. He actually sometimes operates in a way to strengthen the board, the contributions that he makes. So I was totally taken aback when I heard this.
Of the various departments that should have representation on the board, and I understand if civilians don't arrive, I'd like to know that they do, but of the officials who should be coming from correctional services and the others, do they arrive at your board meetings? Are they fully represented? So on average, when you have, I think it's 10 board members, yes, you usually have 10 people at the meeting.
We usually have, not always, you should appreciate that all of these board members are fully employed people elsewhere. So we don't always have 10 people at our meetings. There are times when we do have 10, especially when the meetings are widely spread. And those people who come from the public service do come. But it is more the civilian members of the board who come religiously to meetings. It's not always that the department people come. There are about 2 members who do not always attend meetings, but the member from the Department of Correctional Services, from Health, I know, are always at the meetings. But we have decided that if somebody doesn't come to a meeting 3 times in a row without an apology, the person may have to be questioned. But generally, no people come to meetings more than, or do not come to meetings more than twice or so in a row. So we will not always have 10 meetings, I mean people, but we always correct.
Sorry, Judge, you said, okay, correctional services and, which one was it? I'm sorry,
health.
It's been a long day. Health. And health, health, yes. You said they attended. So that leaves justice, and is
justice and
well, the secretary. You say the secretary.
No, the secretariat. Yeah.
The secretariat.
Doesn't come here always.
It always has somebody there. So basically, it's the Justice Department that's letting you down, because you made reference to a particular entity. So it must be by process of elimination. It must be justice that's not arriving at the meetings. So just fill us in on their attendance, because that's something we would of necessity
we
have to deal
always,
with.
We do not always, honorable member, have 10 people at a time at our meetings. It is rare that we will have 10 people. Sometimes we do, but not always. And we have decided that a person will be questioned, membership will be questioned, if he or she does not attend 3 meetings in a row.
Sorry, is it the Department of Justice specifically that is not arriving at the meetings? Because you said...
She does arrive at the meetings.
Sorry,
but
can
not
I just,
always.
May I just finish? So the one department that tends not to arrive or doesn't arrive, I mean, it's not as though you have that many meetings, because these are crucial departments. That's why we put them on there. So that's the department that's giving the problem. That's all I want to know. I don't want to know anything else. Just is it justice, and how many meetings out of how many meetings have they not attended?
Well, Robert Lakhani, sorry, just a moment, Judge. You also want to come in on this issue?
Maybe to short-circuit, maybe it would be useful if we can be given a record of the attendance. Then we can see who attends and who doesn't attend.
I was just going to say I can't say how many meetings they have attended. We can forward that information to the honourable member later. And then the annual performance plan and the challenges around that and why that was not submitted, Mr. Rogers will respond to that. And then the serious shortages of kits. Mr. Rogers has reported, has presented the honourable members with information that we have serious, there are serious shortages with DNA kits, and we have. You remember last year when we reported, presented our annual report to this committee. That issue came up. And we also learned at another committee meeting before this body that I think it was the portfolio committee hearing the SUPS report. There also this issue came up. We later, in our meetings with the forensic sciences unit, discovered that there is a procurement problem or procurement challenge which is playing itself out. At the last 2 consecutive meetings, we questioned the procurement unit of the SUPS about the shortages of these kits and the fact that they cannot either renew the contract for maintenance and or they cannot proceed with the procurement of the low stock to do something about the low stock of DNA sampling consumables that they are running out of. We have
that firms that was blacklisted or there's problems with
we have
A&R's.
Yeah, we have discovered that there's an issue with SCOPA and it is for that reason that there's a bottleneck at that level. We have written though to the National Commissioner to draw his attention to the impact that this has on the DNA sampling and profiling of arrested persons at police stations. The last meeting that we had on Friday, we were told that what they will do in the meantime is to look at the available
kits that they have at police stations and reassign or reallocate them to those police stations which have a more dire need. But we have, in the meantime, written to the commissioner, and we are waiting for a response.
I think this is a very serious issue, but on Thursday morning, members, remember the big topic on the table is contract management within SAPS. So we will all take all those issues that's been, and also the letter we received a copy from to the National Commissioner. We will raise those issues very sharply on Thursday. So I just want to remind members that will be part of our order of business. But, I mean, the indication on Friday that you got from SAPS, there is a crisis. I mean,
they do admit that there is a crisis and they cannot proceed with that part of the procurement and the renewal of the contracts. And this is what they will do in the meantime. That is what they reported to us. And the reluctance of the board to comply with the annual performance plan requirements, Mr. Rogers will also respond to that to tell the honourable members exactly what is happening there. Let me just say with regard to the shortages, I was also quite startled when Mr. Rapia put this, particularly at the doorstep of the DNA board. I will only say so much. Any reports regarding the DNA samples, I think I have responded to that. Whether the DNA board is dysfunctional, I have responded to that. And the independence of the board, of course, we are very jealous of our independence. The Act requires us. Section 15Z specifically defines the board as an independent board. And the role that we play, the monitoring role, is also defined as an independent monitoring role. We are of the view, the board is of the view that if it does not entrench its independence wherever it is necessary, it will find difficult to exercise its oversight role. This does not mean, as was asserted, that we would unduly, even to the point of bogging down operations, obsess about our independence. Our monitoring role, our oversight role is, as far as we are concerned, reliant on us operating as an independent board. Mr. Rogers is going to let the honorable members know what they, as the civilian secretariat, have done to assist us to arrange for a session with regard to our strategic plan and with regard to our annual performance plan, and what they have done or not done so that today we do not have an annual performance plan before this committee. We do recognize that there are aspects of our work, particularly administrative, that we cannot do by ourselves. Most or about 60% of the members of the board are civilians, are outsiders. They're not familiar with the PMFA and the public service rules, and we rely only on the secretariat to guide us, to assist us, as they did when we had to appoint a director. We appointed a director not by ourselves, but through the guidance of the civilian secretariat. When we discussed our challenges regarding our lack of resources, we discussed with them. Mr. Rapia, who sits in the board, makes his contributions because he understands and we understand too we have to work through through them. We have no idea how the SITA operates. They enlighten us, and it is for that reason that this matter has been placed in their hands. The feelings of other entities holding our hands. I think that I do not want to sit here and blame other people for the weaknesses of the board. And I don't say the board is operating at its optimum. My view is that once the board has appointed, it's fully complied with appointments regarding the organogram that we're going to come out with, this board will operate most efficiently. There is no way that I can sit here and say the board operates optimally with only two members of our secretariat. And for that reason, I do not want to point fingers. But it must be remembered, our role is that of monitoring and exercising oversight. We exercise oversight over how other entities manage the DNA or the NFDD. We have a responsibility to ensure that the management of DNA, the DNA database, is done in terms of the Act. So if there are procurement difficulties in certain quarters, if there are non-responses, for example, by the Registrar of the Sexual Offences Register, it is true that sometimes our hands are tied. And that is where the question comes in, whether there is need to amend the Act in such a way that the DNA Board acquires a bit of teeth. I'm looking, for example, at that question of the registrar who is simply not responding to our question or to our request for data. If the registrar would write a letter and explain, it would be another question. If we cannot get responses from people or entities, there needs to be something that we can do in order to get these responses if we want to exercise our oversight role and our monitoring role effectively. The board has not only got to be effective, not only efficient, it also has to be effective. The head of forensic labs not coping, and shortages of stock. Of course, if there are shortages of stock, it means that the lab is not able to perform its functions. And there is an accumulation of analysis that needs to be done. And if the laboratory doesn't have stock, how is it going to function? How is it going to perform its mandate? So I think that question must be answered in the affirmative. I've answered the registrar's non-response. I've answered the decline in board meetings. Essentially, we would like to have only four meetings in a year, once our secretariat is up and running. We will probably continue to have our subcommittee meetings, and honorable member, you are quite correct that we still have our subcommittee subcommittees operating, because right now they are busy with finalizing policy around our protocols and our charters. Our director has indicated to us that the current charters that we have are rather too operational And that is understandable because at the time when we drafted these charters, we operated through those charters. They were operational because we didn't have a secretariat. But now he has advised us that they need to be more strategic. And I agree with him that it is out of those charters that the strategy of the board to deal with its monitoring and oversight role will be mapped out. So Mr. Rapia made the assertion that the board tends to get down to operations and get into the area of the accounting officer. And it may be right that there may be arguments coming again, you know, just as we have arguments with the secretariat, the civilian secretariat, around our independence and around our budget. We may have arguments around whether it is us, the board, who has got to do one or another function, perform one or another function, or whether it is the accounting officer. And that is an issue which we have to agree to. Up to now, the agreements would be function specific. When we have to deal with particular functions, then we have to determine whether it is the board or Mr. Rapia who's got to do it or who's responsible, etc., etc. But I will not say we do not have arguments around our independence and around the role that the subcommittees play, the operational role that subcommittees still play. Sometimes Mr. Rapia would have one-on-one meetings with me, or Mr. Rogers would have one-on-one meetings with me to iron out these issues, which I then take to the board for decisions. The subcommittees, yes, they still operate. I have answered that, and they feed into the board. Even after Mr. Rogers has been appointed, we just decide at a particular point in time who has got to do what. Oh, my goodness.
Honorable Ramalekani, welcome. It's just a moment, Judge.
Chair, with the greatest respect to the judge, I just want to go back to the... There was just now flighting of the board and board meetings on the board that I've just seen. And when you look at it, it will say five board members and five officials. It then means that there are officials and the board, but it doesn't say from which department would have been a member of the board that did not appear for that meeting. Now, we thought that maybe the register would help us to understand it. But the register, it doesn't really tell you much. But can I ask the judge that at least for this committee, the judge, you are not necessarily being put onto the spot here. I think it will help if we're quite frank about the problems of the board, and so that we are able to intervene to help where we need to help. But if we are not frank, we're not going to be able to get to the bottom of the problem. For us, it is a problem that the board is not operating optimally. It is a problem in terms of whole lot of other things that then kicks in there. So I'm only appealing that if you can just be frank with us. And of course, I know Roger is going to speak later. Let's be open here. And while I'm on that issue, Chair, I'm surprised that there is this vast differences between the judge and the secretariat in terms of whether the board is operating optimally or not. which means that then there is an issue that we will have to also begin to follow up with the Secretariat itself, because I mean, you can't have one board, but when the presentation is made to the committee, two board, the chair of the board, the secretary, the head of the Secretariat, they are miles apart on this creature that's supposed to be functioning and which they are full members of. Something is just not, for me, adding up. And I think we would have to get to that when we have the PFA as well. But I think all I'm asking, judges, that let's be just completely frank about this issue. As a chair, you are not on the spot here. All you need to understand is whether is anything that we need to do to intervene. The issue about the independence of the board, I still don't understand what is meant by the explanation that you've given. Is it the view of the board that it needs to be a department who operate like that, like the department will operate, when it's actually linked to a particular function that we're supposed to deal with, which brings both various departments together? So that's really, I'm not understanding it unless we made very clear what we understand by that, so that we are able also to be on your side in terms of it. But certainly the independence as we speak about it here, I don't think the intention was that the board is going to be entity that is untouchable, that's going to function like that. I'm sorry, Chair, I'm just taking much of your time, but the point I'm hearing is that I'm getting frustrated about the things that is not strict, because we're not judging. All we want is to sort this problem, because clearly there is something that needs to be sorted out. Thank you, Chair.
The looking forward position, because we will have to have a follow-up after this meeting, you know, on the issues. I mean, there must be compliance with the PFMA. There must be compliance with accountability to Parliament.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. We need all the members here, you know, when there's interaction. That's critical. If there is, let's say, and of course, it's an oversight institution, there's going to be conflict with the executive. It's in all institutions like that. So it's not something new, but it must be managed. So if the Secretary of Police has got a different view, he must be with us in this venue, that we can thrash those things out. But it's also important that if there, and I mean that's for me also the bigger picture, if there's problems with SAPS, with the forensic environment, we must know that,
yeah,
straight up, you know, and you must put it on the table that we can deal with it. If there's problems with the acting divisional commissioner of forensics, we must know it straight, that we can deal with it on Thursday. So that is really the forward-looking issue. So if you can maybe go to that, because our time is really running out.
Honourable Malakane, I think I have the difficulty that I have is I do not know why Mr. Rapia based his assertions on, except that he was worried that we are overly emphasizing our independence. And at some stage he mentioned something like, we expect the accounting officer to report to us. And I still do not understand that assertion. And we are, without using those words, almost, we get bogged down because we are obsessing about our independence. And I've tried to show that we work with the civilian secretariat. With administrative issues, they do the work for us, and I will give Mr. Rogers a chance to show that they deal with our annual performance plan, they deal with our strategic plan, they got us the website, and those resources which have to be compliant with the PMFA. We can't do those things. They are the ones who do that for us. And in other words, they are the ones who have to strengthen us administratively, and we understand and accept that. It is only with regard to our oversight, even with the budget, usually they say the one who manages the budget is the one who determines the issues. And we don't want a situation where our budget is freely managed by the civilian secretariat to the point that they decide, even without consulting us, to use our budget, the unspent budget, for their purposes. We don't want that situation. At least what they can do is to consult with us. And especially where the civilian secretariat is the one who has to provide us with administrative resources, and we get bogged down and do not achieve those objectives which they have to assist us with. And if we don't spend the money, then we find ourselves, unless we ring-fence our budget, we'll find ourselves in a situation where they will spend our money in areas where they might have overspent in order to block that that gap. And it is for that reason that we obsess about our independence when it comes to our budget. We can't have our own budget, at least not now. Hopefully one day we'll have our own budget. But even if our budget comes through the civilian secretariat, we were hoping that it would be ring-fenced so that we use the budget for our purposes. I have dealt with the governance issues and the protocols. The out-of-pocket expenses, at our last report, when we presented our last report, we had that underspending situation attributed partly to the fact that the board could not pay the out-of-pocket expenses of the members. Now that Mr. Rogers has joined us, he has fortunately seen to it that members are paid their out-of-pocket expenses. These are not remunerations, they're just reimbursements. I think the wrong word is used. None of the members are paid for what they do. These are just reimbursements for, as you said, Mr. Malakan, out-of-pocket expenses. The annual performance plan, the second time, the budget. I think Mr. Rogers will also add to what I said. We don't have our own budget. We don't have an independent budget. Our budget comes through the civilian secretariat, and it's not even ring-fenced. So he has reported that we have had an increase in our budget for this financial year, and we hope we can appoint a deputy director who will particularly do our investigations. We hope we'll be able to get some IT resources. We have now managed to get our website going, and we hope we will get some space for these people, because right now we don't even have sufficient space for the two people that we have. The assistant who does our board minutes is literally squatting. So that when we appoint these people, after we've had our strategic plan, we hope we will have sufficient money to provide these resources. The brand identity, indeed we insisted on having our own brand identity separate from any entity in the subs. We thought this is very important. We must be seen as an independent oversight body, as Section 15V requires. If our website is connected to any entity in the subs, we worry that it might make inroads into the trust that the public might have in the work that we do, the oversight role that we play. So I'm afraid there, even if the civilian secretariat has problems with it, I think we insist that we would have like to have our own website. And we don't mind having a logo next to the logo of the civilian secretariat, as long as we know that we are known with this particular logo, so that when we communicate with the public and any other entity over whom we exercise oversight, we can be seen as an independent oversight exercising body. And the secretariat is helping us with the logo. Right now he has given us about three images which we are interrogating, and we hope when we have our annual performance plan session, we will adopt that logo as the logo. What comes out of these discussions, the logo of the DNA board. I think I will give over to Mr. Rogers to deal with those questions of compliance with the PMFA regarding the annual performance plan and other issues.
Thank you very much, Javich. Yes, sir, you can go ahead, Mr.
Rogers. Thanks, Chair. Honourable members, I know that we are pressed for time, so I'm going to be as brief as I possibly can. With respect to the late submission of the annual report, we had written to the chairperson of the committee on two occasions last year, I think on the 3rd and then on the 21st of November, where we gave reasons for the late submission or the non-submission. I think the reasons for that is twofold. One, there were genuine challenges in getting the document signed off by the minister at the time, with Minister Mbulula. So the documents sat in his office for a very long time. We would follow up with the chief of staff and his office staff, and it just was never getting signed. That aside, though, there were some real challenges in actually compiling the annual report. And when I say compiling, in terms of the structure and the format of the report. So if you look at the report currently, you'll see it includes a six-month progress report in it. At the time when we were compiling the report, I specifically advised that is not the structure that an annual report should follow, but I encountered significant resistance, for lack of a better word. So effectively I was told that this is how it's always been done and this is how we are going to continue doing it for going forward. So that was the reason why the annual report was eventually printed and submitted in the form that it is. In terms of the non-submission of the APP,
Can I just get clarity? Is that resistance from the secretariat or from the board? I wasn't clear on.
From the board.
From the board.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was an argument over the formats of the report.
Yeah. Okay. Effectively, what I was told is that the committee had accepted the report in the format that it is now previously, and that the committee would appreciate the report being submitted in the similar format going forward, despite my advice around the PFMA and, you know, all of those other regulations that determine how these reports should be compiled. In terms of the non-submission of the APP, on the 25th of January this year, we received a letter from the Civilian Secretariat indicating that we needed to put together a draft APP and that it needed to be submitted to the Minister's office on, I think it was the 30th of January, and that going forward the board would be considered as a sub-program within the Civilian Oversight, Monitoring and Evaluation Program within the Civilian Secretariat. There was also a directive that was issued by National Treasury to that respect. Again, there was significant resistance from the board, and I was pretty much told that there will not be a sub-program, and until such time as they understand what it means to a sub-program, they're not going to comply and submit the APP. And that was despite on numerous occasions urging that, you know, let us comply, and then we can always raise and address some of these concerns with Mr. Rapia and others later. But that
are the
The board, no. The board. So, effectively, that was the reason why the APP was not submitted and still hasn't been submitted, because there was uncomfortableness in the notion of being a sub-program, despite me having sent National Treasury documents, etc., explaining, you know, what it means to be a sub-program, and also trying to advise that being a sub-program won't necessarily impact on your functional independence. It's more an administrative requirement that makes sure you're better able to account for the work that you've done and also link it back to your budget expenditure, particularly because the money was being allocated through the budget votes of the civilian secretariat. So I understood the rationale behind it, but nonetheless that was not done. So that's why we sit with the position where we still do not have an APP to date.
Thank you. I see a lot of hands, but colleagues, I want to really come to close it, but I'll give you an opportunity, because colleagues, what we will have to do actually, remember, is now the formal presentation of the annual report. Like in all other departments, we will ask them if there's any additional matters they want to give to us information, and then we must submit now a report to the National Assembly with recommendations. So that's really where we are. So we will give an opportunity to them also orally, if the board in the next week or two, and we'll adopt that report quite soon during when we come back in 2 weeks' time, and then we'll report to the National Assembly. Yes, Judge. But Honourable Bailey, you wanted to raise something?
I do apologize to the colleagues for delaying things. I just want to know if at this point there's yet been a meeting of minds between the secretariat in the person of Mr. Rogers and the board, because there's been the whole talk around concerns over independence, and it's kind of a rehash of the DPCI discussion, operational versus functional versus structural independence. And if, for example, if the solution would be to ring-fence the funds of the board, then let's drive towards that kind of thing. But I don't know what, you know, if there is a convergence happening.
The input, but I mean, we will come with recommendations, yes.
Mr. Rogers is quite right. There is a debate between the secretariat and the board around the format of the APP, the format of the annual report. We've always reported without what Mr. Rogers says is compliance with the PMFA. Our view was we need not fix what was not broken. The report, as we presented, highlights particularly our challenges and brings that to the attention of the committee. But he's quite correct that we have not, our minds have not met with regard to the APP, and for that reason, we are going to have, we are arranging a threat plan out of which agreement regarding the APP is going to come out. And he is arranging that strategic planning session.
Right. Yes, Secretary, anything you want to add? CFO?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. I think I'll just maybe acknowledging that the civilian secretariat is supposed to be there to provide administrative assistance to the board. I don't think what maybe the secretary could have said maybe is well apart from what the judge has just said, because the judge has actually admitted that the board as it is not optimally functional. I think that's what the secretary also meant. But maybe then coming to the issues of the figures, where could this thing have come up from? You realize that when the board started in 15-16, they had a budget of 1.2 million. As we talk now for 18-19, they've got a budget of about 3.8 million, which is about 300% more than what they had at the beginning, when the whole function started. And I think the board also needs to understand the agency at which they need to appoint their administrative staff. Why do I say that? Because you look at their spending trends. The only time that the board spent reasonably is the year in which the director was appointed. It is the year when they spend about 65% of their budget. But out of that 65% that they have spent, then there was 1.1 million still left. And the 1.1 million that was left, it was exactly for the DD, which is supposed to provide the administrative work, and also some admin clerk person who's supposed to provide the administrative work to the board. And those posts were actually advertised. And the board has never sat down to shortlist. I don't know of any instances where they sat down to shortlist for those posts. So that could be the the more they can understand the agency of appointing their administrative work, the more they will get better in those issues. Now, if you look at the other financial years, just maybe to share with the board, then the other year before that, which is 16, they had about 3.1 million, of which only 21% of the budget was spent. The other year, the year in which they had 1.2 million, they only spent 27%. As we stand now, which is the current financial, out of the 3.8 million that we've allocated to them this year, only about 311,000. So that means that there's still, after 2 months down there, there's still about 3.6 million which has not been spent. And at this trend, it might end up, they might end up just spending 60% of their money. So the more they understand the agency of appointing their administrative staff, the more they will know that what needs to be done. I don't want to talk about the issue. And for instance, they want these funds, but as the civilian secretariat, we've increased all this budget to 300%, and we've got no basis for which to allocate them funds because they don't have an APP. So we need to motivate. They might understand what they want, but those documents, they don't come through to the secretariat for us to motivate through to Treasury to say this is what the board is doing so that they can get the money that they need. We have to give them out of what is out of our money to give them what we have so that they can function the way they want to operate. I think that will be it for me.
Well, if you can just keep it, because what I'm going to propose is that maybe the civilian secretary give us a three-pager by next week. What are the issues? What must be done that we can have a look at it and when we compile our report? Yes, Advocate Bell.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to speak on the issue of members that were not remunerated out of pocket expenses during 2016-17. My experience with the board was that when they were given forms to fill out so that they can go onto the database so that monies can be paid, when claims are made and monies are paid directly into their accounts, there was resistance to that. So I was there in a meeting when I heard one of the members say they said that it's too intrusive and they are cumbersome. But eventually they came around and they filled out those forms, they were put on the database, and they were paid their money, they were back paid. And so that's where that issue comes with the money being paid out of pocket because they were not on the database. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you to Judge Mokgoro and the team for coming. We appreciate the interaction. Members, we receive now officially the annual report presentation. As I said earlier, we need from the DNA board as well as the civilian secretary any additional information they want to amplify in terms of the current status of the board, because we will have to, as a committee, make an objective evaluation when we receive the report from the researcher and the content advisor. What is the status of the board? Because there is an admission, it's not functioning optimally. It's not dysfunctional, but it's not functioning optimally. So we need to come with recommendations. What will be done to ensure that they are able to do the job effectively? Because I'm very worried if I see in the SAPS environment what's happening. So it's important that the DNA board must be able to fulfill the oversight work. They must do it effectively. If there is relationships problems with them and the secretariat, it must be sorted as soon as possible. They can't be on different pages. They must work together. It's an important factor. So we will await those additional written representations, and then we will compile the report and we'll come to the committee. Thank you very much. Members, we're going to meet tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock sharply, E249, E249. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
We don't know.